Let's stand, if you would, just for a moment. We're going to pray for all the folks in Nepal that's coming under persecution. We know that God is a good God. Amen. I just got the last response I got. I'll read them all to you this morning, and then we'll pray. Just talked with Pastor KB. Hindi extremists have been encouraged by India Prime Minister Modi to stop Christians from converting Hindus. Bim had police at his church, which is Pastor Bim, one of the pastors we go to. Several times they went to the churches and been threatened. Over 40 Christian leaders were arrested Friday. Very serious situations. Prayer needed. And it went out of our circle. Pastor Charlotte sent out the prayer request to all believers. Our God is in control. It is written, touch not my anointing. Talked with Pastor KB on the phone this AM. District officials came to talk to him about the scope and size of ministry, looking for information as to how big Christianity has become in the country, he thinks. Maoists have reunified and are ready to go to war again if country goes back to Hinduism as proposed by India. He said reports of a pastor has gone missing for several days now, not one of his, so all are very concerned. So we have one pastor missing, which is not in our group, but it's a very serious situation. We knew it was very eggshell type even when we were there. The Maoists, which is the first group that done the revolution, and they've been waiting to write this constitution. It's never been written. And so without a constitution written, what happens is you get somebody who's in political stronghold and power who funds. India has a lot of finances and Nepal doesn't. So it's the same political thing that goes on here in America. They'll send a bunch of money and work and supplies there and leverage people to get what they want. Well, India is very concerned about Nepal becoming a Christian nation rather than a Hindu nation. And so that's why India has so much at stake, because that thing's going to run rampant through India. And we know God put India in our hearts. Brother Marcel is going out to India again here soon. There's amazing work that's happening. And anytime there's resistance, you got to keep pushing through the resistance. Anytime the enemy comes and attacks you, if it's worth it to you, you're going to push right through it. And so I want to encourage, but I can tell you, there's a pastor's wife and some pastor's kids and a pastor's church family that would like to know where that pastor's at. They took him. And we're going to pray for him. Pastor Bim is an incredible man of God. And to have the people go in his church and put that type of pressure on him right in the capital city of Kathmandu, that's concerning, very concerning. And Pastor Bims is just as humble as can be. And in Pastor KB, God has put him there for, let me tell you, he's bold. And he might be small in stature, but he will not back down. He will he will give his life. I know the man. He will give his life for that work if it's what it takes. And I know a bunch of his pastors that will just give their life. That's what it takes. And I sit around and I think about us, and sometimes we can't even give up our plans. We can't even give up what we want. Little things, little bitty things. And I think about that, and the Lord reminded me of this yesterday. He said, not everybody's going to make it. You think about that. Not everybody's going to make it to the kingdom. The question is, do you want to make it? I know some folks up in Nepal and India that are faithful to God. And those folks are serious about making it to the kingdom. To the point that it doesn't matter. If they get their lives threatened, that's fine. We had no police come in our church ever and threaten us. But I can assure you, yesterday was their church service. Pastor Bim started church on time, whether the police is there or not. And if they handcuff him and arrest him, that's fine. I know the man. He's okay with it. That's fine. Do whatever you got to do. But as you unchain me, I will start church again on Saturday. I think that's the kind of heart we got to have for God when we come to our church. But they've sent this out to us this morning, and they're crying out for us to please hold them up in prayer. It's a serious stuff goes on all around the world. And this one comes close to home because it's people that we know and we love and care about. And we support and we see the work of God, what he's doing. We see a tremendous. That's why we couldn't tell you how important it was for us to go as often as we could. Because we had this window to spread seed as fast as we could spread seed. And we spread it as fast as we could. I stood before 10,000 people and said, listen, the most important thing you could ever do is you got to share the gospel of the kingdom as far as you can. I said, you run as hard as you can. I believe those 10,000 people took me serious. But once the Maoist group has reunified, their camps means they're huge Maoist camps. If they reunified, I can tell you, I got a book in my office and talks about the horrific things that went on during the Maoist campaign. It's pretty brutal stuff. I mean, there's no court hearings or anything like that. Nothing like you see in America. They settle stuff right there on the road. It gets settled right then and there. And to tell you, when it's settled, some folks aren't going home. And so we need to pray that these leaders, when they meet with Pastor KB, that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, it will never, ever be able to uproot the seed of the kingdom of God that's been planted there. Nothing can stop it. I told them when I was there, and we talked about this. I told Pastor, when the text went out, it was reminding me of the first Saturday, sir, I preached the first service when we got to Nepal. And I told him, I said, Pastor, you don't back down for anything. And I'm just wondering, if we was there with them, would we stand in the same streets with them? Do we have that much? Or what do we give into? What do we succumb to? Just little things. Little things. Little people said this or said that. That don't even meet the scale to God. We're talking about people's lives at stake for the gospel. And I never remember my life being at stake for the gospel. We've been very fortunate in America. Very, very fortunate. That's why we should have zero room for anybody to bicker and complain about coming to church in America. This is amazing liberty. And I don't think God's given us this liberty for just us to squander it away. I think it's a very important purpose. To build the church, get our character right. But I can tell you, with it being so easy, sometimes we can be really lax in our relationship. But we don't want to do that. How many want to be strong in the Lord? Be determined to serve God. Well, I want to encourage you. We're going to pray for Pastor KB and Pastor Bim, that pastor that's missing, preaching the gospel, and they just take him. And I can tell you, when they take somebody, they don't take them to talk to them. I just want you to know that. One of our pastors was taken in the early ending of that revolution 6 years ago. And they didn't talk. They beat him. They beat him bad. They were going to kill him. But I believe the hand of God was on his life. And I was able to put my arms around him and hug him and tell him I appreciate his faithfulness to God last time we was there. And he has one of the largest churches in Nepal. But he said, it didn't matter if they'd kill him. It didn't matter. He sold out to God. Whatever, I'm following God. If the death is what's in my path, then that's what it is. I just want to have that. Listen, to me, that's a person who's strong and mighty. That's a person who's got a right attitude and their heart's right to do the right thing. That's what I want. Do you want that today? Let's pray for him. Let's call him out before God. Let's stand in the gap with them. Let's build a hedge about them. And let's ask our Father, the Almighty God. You know about Nepal. You know the words spoken over Nepal. Just a little bitty country between two of the largest countries in the world, India and China. and they're a little bitty strip right there. But our God is strong and mighty. Yahweh is strong and mighty. And there's nothing that can stop God from doing his work. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We come as a group of people today and we cry out to you. God, you see Pastor KB and Pastor Bim and all those pastors, God. We cry out to you, God. All the leaders, God, that have gotten together, we pray, Lord, that their words fall to the ground and that they will come to know you, Lord. We know what's happening. We know that the seed is being sown and the enemy is mad. But we cry out of protection, that you would watch over them. And Lord, no matter what they face, strength is coming to them right now. God, may we be strong in the word and in love for you like they are. God, we pray, Lord, that whatever meetings happen, whatever leadership comes up, but Lord, that they will be drawn to the convicting power of your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that this pastor that's been taken, that your hand is upon his life. You're keeping him and protecting him and watching over him. And no matter what befalls him, Lord, his faith, his trust is completely in you. And I pray a comfort will come to their church family, his wife, his children. God, that it would come and bring encouragement to them. God, Pastor KB's whole church and all the people there, Lord, all those churches all over, Lord, we pray for each one of them today. God, that you would just bring comfort to them, Lord, in this time of unrest. And Lord, you see what needs to happen. And we declare it done, Lord, through your word, through your name, Lord. We know, Lord, that you know what needs to happen. And there's nothing that can happen outside of your control. So we thank you, Lord, that you are in complete control of this situation. God, and things will begin to move on their behalf. We glorify. And you see in India, you see Morris, Lord, in India. God, we pray for them, Lord, right now. God, his church, his father, his brothers, and all those churches there in India. God, as this raise up of the enemy is so mad and he wants to just wreak havoc all over that area. But Lord, for too long, the enemy's had its way. For too long, it's just been have it the way they want it. But God, we thank you, Lord, that somebody is standing there proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We thank you for it. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great God. Isn't he good? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is amazing, and we just appreciate the Lord for the opportunity we have just to be a part of what's going on there in that region. And we ask that you continue to pray. Just continue to pray and call out on the Lord on that, in those situations. We going right through all of this and trying to get as much as we can done each service. So we want to continue in it again today. So we're going to be looking at kingdom seeds. Last Sunday, I talked to you for a bit about 1 Peter. It talked about, for you have been born again, not of seeds, which is perishable. Let me start. Let's start with 63. And we'll run through this, just a little bit of these review some of this stuff. You're born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. I mean, understand that. That is through the living and enduring word of God. So you're born again, remember that. You're born again through imperishable seeds, not a perishable seed. So you got to, that ought to give you some confidence and encouragement in your born again experience. It ought to lift you up. And this is just reviewing, so I won't cover everything we did, but I want to go through some of this for you so you'll see what I'm talking about. The Word of God is here to stay. It's imperishable. So you sow the seed. It's imperishable. The Word of God is here to stay. And it's very important that we understand that. The kingdom of the word of the kingdom is the seed that is imperishable that will regenerate you. We talked about that word regenerate. Means to be born again. Born again means to regenerate or to father anew. Remember that? We talked about to regenerate. And it's important that you understand that it's not generating you, it's regenerating you. So you've been born again, which brings into existence again. God's act of bringing into existence a new person, which change is for the better. The change is for the better. So I think these are valuable principles that we need to understand. Remember we talked about that the Christian, if you're born again, you had two begettings. The first one's when you were born from your father's seed. The second one's when you're born from the seed of the word that's sown in you. So both of them takes a seed. So it's the word of God, God's word over you, the seed that God produces for you. How was Jesus born? Now let's not forget, he was born. See, there's such a danger in taking scriptures here and there and forming some type of doctrine. Jesus was born. How was he born? From a seed. He said the thing that's going to happen is going to be by the Holy Ghost. So Mary, she's there, and in her womb, a seed was deposited by the Holy Ghost. Did the Holy Ghost produce the seed? No, he was the carrier of the seed. Where'd the seed come from? God, the Father. Is the Holy Ghost the Father? No. Who's the Father? God's the Father. Who carried the seed for God there? The Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's the operational presence of God. It's God's operation. Does this make more sense when you look at it that way? It's so this stuff's not hard. It's really not. But over years of not letting go of old things, people won't dig into the Word of God. This stuff is simple stuff. Jesus was born by the seed of God, the Father. So if I'm a Christian, I'm born, first of all, by my father's seed. Does that make sense to everybody? How'd you get here? By your father's seed. I got here from my father's seed. If I'm born again, I'm born again through the father's seed. I got regenerated because the old man cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what does God have to do? He says, I'm going to regenerate you. It makes me happy. Makes me excited. I'm so glad to be serving God today, and somebody told me about the gospel a long time ago. I'm so glad. But I can tell you, this is so important that we constantly understand these principles. So if you've been born again, you've been regenerated or to father anew. How many like that term? To be born again means to father anew. And that's what happened to you and I. So you've been fathered twice. Isn't that exciting? You didn't come to those people and say, you're born again? Well, I felt like a chill bump one time. They have no idea if they've been born again. And that's what folks were doing. Well, I went down to the altar. But we did that. That's how we orchestrated church that way. We figured that's the way you got to do it. I raised my hand one Sunday. But listen, are you fathered anew? They have no idea about that stuff. I felt something. What is that? None of that means anything. Do you understand? They have to know that they're born again by the word being explained to them. How do you explain? You got to sow the seed of the word of the kingdom. You got to put seed there. It's got to be something that they can get their mind wrapped around. Let me tell you, I can assure you, when we get through with this, nobody's going to come to you and say, you born again. You're going to be able to explain it to them. I've been a father to new. I've been regenerated. You see, you get to explain it better. And how many thankful that we're growing in the Lord, learning these things together. This is what it's all about. And now I went to John. I won't cover John. We'll go past all of these slides, but I talked about Nicodemus. You know, he comes, and so we get a good indication there about what happened with Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus at night and said, what must I do? And he said, well, you got to be born again. What was the first thing Nicodemus related to? Because the born again word, the same word. You know, when you're born again, not with perishable seed, but imperishable. So he's explaining born again to Nicodemus. What does Nicodemus think he means when he's talking about being born again? Can a man, can I enter a second time? That's his understanding. Because that's exactly what happens. Listen, we ought to be, what Jesus said and what Nicodemus thought he said was dead on. They were right on. Because Jesus was saying that. You have to be born again. But he meant you had to be regenerated with a different seed. The seed you have is tainted. Every person on the planet, from that seed all the way back to Adam, we can trace it all the way back to Adam, that seed from then on is tainted. But then the Father comes. But how can he clean the, how can the seed be deposited in the man? How can it be handed over? If somebody's got to be first. Was Adam first? Was Adam the first man? Yes. So then we got to have a first. So Jesus comes and he's born from the seed of the Father. And he lives his life without sin. And then what do we do with that seed? We kill that seed. Put it in the ground. What does the Father do? While men sleeping, what does he do? He raises the seed. You don't even know what's happening. That's the kingdom right there. That's God operating. That's what he does. He's good at what he does. God is absolutely amazing. I never had more understanding, more glory, more lifting up of my voice about God until I got this revelation. God was more general to me. But man, God is amazing. And so now we have a first. We have a first fruit. Did the seed come before the fruit? I would hope we understand that. You don't get the fruit, then the seed. The seed comes first, generated by God. Remember that. The seed didn't come from something that produced it. God generates the seed. It comes from the Father. Then you get a fruit. And that's what Jesus becomes, the first fruit. Hence the first fruit. Then there comes a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a million, and a billion, and so on and so on. How many, thank God, you're wanting that many after the first. I'm thankful I'm one of that many after the first. I can't be one of that many without being regenerated. Only the regenerated, all right? So a Christian, I talked about this, I mentioned this a moment ago. A Christian has experienced being born twice. The first is through your father, seed. The second is through the seed of God. If God's seed does germinate in the soil, the heart, of your heart, you can, if it doesn't, you cannot be born again. So that should be does not. You cannot be born again. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices sin because the seed abides in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Notice that. He cannot sin. What does that mean? That you that nobody who is born of God has ever sinned after that? No, it doesn't say that. It says he cannot sin. Meaning he's telling you not to. You shouldn't be doing it. So if you are, slap your hand and say quit. Because you got to quit that. Well, we see that happen a lot of times. Let's make no mistake about it. That if we're doing it at the time, If that's what we're practicing, if we're practicing that at the time that the Lord returns or the time I die, then we're in trouble. Let's not kid ourselves. If I'm practicing that at the time, then I don't know how we can see in the Scripture where God's going to be happy with that after He's done everything He could to give us the way out. So we don't want to be involved in that. A Christian does not practice sin. A person is born again by the seed of the kingdom. If you are not born again, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Simple as that. Very simple. If you're not born again, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. There's only one way to enter into the kingdom of God, and that's through the seed that's in us, which produces fruit, a new person. You're regenerated. Jesus is going to come. He's the first. He's resurrected, and He's living in immortality, immortal. And then He will return. And when He returns, He's going to resurrect those who are in Christ. And those who are alive and remain will be changed. What we're going to change into? We're going to go from mortal. This mortal, He says, this mortal shall take on immortality. Isn't that something? This mortal shall take on immortality. So I'm thankful that there's going to be a change that's going to happen. And then we'll be ready for the kingdom. Because the kingdom's forever. We don't need more. You can't have mortal people in the kingdom because it's forever. Of His kingdom, there'll be what? No end. No end. Goes on. And so we can't have that in the kingdom. The kingdom of God has been reserved for those who have been born again a second time into the newness of life through Christ Jesus. How many see that? If the word of God is sown in your heart and you are born again, you will not practice sin. Simple as that. You won't do it. Now go to 1 Peter. Here's where I stopped somewhere around here, but we'll get a fresh start. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do we get born again? What is it through? He talks about it in this passage. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So if there's no resurrection, then we got problems here, don't we? And how many know there was a certain group that didn't believe in the resurrection? He said, how is it, Jesus said to him, how is it you say there's no resurrection? See what he dealt with. Jesus dealt with the same issues. He talked, preaching the kingdom of God, these same issues were dealt with. Verse 4, it says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. How many want that? Every person here is for you. You can obtain an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Where is it reserved at? It's in heaven being reserved for you right now. He said, let not your heart be troubled in John. Didn't he say that? He told him, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, the King James says. If it were not so, I've told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am. Notice Jesus' words. He's very clear so nobody confuses where we're going. Where I am, you're going to be. Just wondering where he's going to be. Just go back and study that a little more and you'll find out where Jesus is going to be. I'm going to be where he's at. I don't know about you, but wherever he's at, I want to be. I read a spot there where he says, I'm going to be king. I'm going to sit on David, literally sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. I'm thinking I'm going to be there too. in Jerusalem. Yeah, that little place that's got all those countries surrounding it with guns on them like that. That little place called Israel. So just so you'll know, if you want to know where Jesus is going to be, that's where he's going to be. And where he is, I'm going to be. Ruling and reigning with him. And that's exactly what he's planning on doing, ruling and reigning, because it's been promised to him. Amen? So just this is some of the things for you to look at. Verse 5 says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So when is that salvation going to be fully realized? At the last time. It's not fully realized until, for now, we see through a glass darkly. It's kind of faded. But one day, face to face. Right now, the just shall live by faith. Are you going to need faith when you're looking at Jesus in the face? No. Why would you need faith? The hope you've been hoping for is realized. There he is. The man. Standing right before you. King of kings. Lord of lords. He says, go, they go. He says, come, they come. Stop, they stop. You understand? That's the authority. All authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. How incredible that is. And we're going to be right there with him. Ruling and reigning. It is amazing to me. And I'm thankful for the seed. So when is it going to be revealed? In the last time. Notice that. Next one says, if God raised Jesus from the dead, he will also raise us from the dead. If the seed of the kingdom is sown in our hearts and we are born again. So if the seed of the kingdom sown in your heart, and if you weren't here last Sunday, you need to get, tell them before you leave, say, I want you to make me a CD of last Sunday. Yes. Listen to that. And then you do something about it when you listen to it. What do you have to do? You got to either accept it or reject it. If you accept it, you keep running after it wide open. I'm telling you. And then what's going to happen? Listen, God will raise. If he raised Jesus from the dead, if you die tomorrow, he'll raise you. Believe that. He will raise you when the time comes. At the last trumpet, he's going to raise all those in Christ. And when that's when you're raised, salvation will be realized fully, completely. Because that's resurrection is part of the salvation, is it not? We see it all through Scripture. We've seen it in Jesus, in the life of Jesus. The enemy says, well, you know, it looks like they were defeated. The disciples thought they were defeated. They were dispersed. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. Their Savior, Jesus, the King, they waited for. He's dead. He's in a tomb. They got a stone in front of them. They can't even get access to him. When they get up and go there, the women, the stone's rolled away. The body's gone. It's missing. And supposing there was the gardener there speaking to him, they realize all of a sudden, this is not the gardener. This is him. He said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended yet. I'm just, you know, everything's set on the time with God. He said, I'm going to be here for a little while yet. But when I go, it's going to be amazing. So we see all those accounts. Amen? Very important that we understand these things in the Scripture. So if God raised Jesus from the dead, he will also raise us from the dead. If the seed of the kingdom is sown in our hearts and we are born again. If you're born again, regenerated, fathered anew, you're going to raise regardless of what anybody thinks or tells you. I'm telling you, the Scripture declares you will raise from the dead. Isn't that exciting? I don't know how you wouldn't want it. You know how many people spend their life trying to figure out how to live longer? Yes. You know, you can live a long time, but let's not forget. You might live a lot of years, but your body's going to feel the age. You get older. I can tell I'm getting older. I'm trying to beat the clock a little bit here. You're trying to do stuff, you know, stay in shape, do something to be active. But you can tell when your body gets older. I look at some of the younger folks today and they don't know. And I was the same way. I was like, nothing slows you down. Boom, and all of a sudden, you go, what just hit me? Age hit you. Sometimes it has to hit us behind the head to get our attention. But how many can remember that? You just start all of a sudden what you used to do, you don't do no more. Because that's you get your body's going to tell on you. But let me tell you something. When we're looking at what God says, He in the Scripture says, if He raised Jesus from the dead, He'll raise you. Not to mortal, not to suffer more, but to immortality. To me, that's exciting. And I'm thrilled to know that we have that promise. Romans 1:16. Watch this. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To who would it first come to? To the Jews. But then also to the Greek. But listen, notice something in that verse that I want you to really understand. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the seed of the kingdom, which is the power to salvation. The gospel there is the seed of the kingdom. What is the seed of the kingdom? He says, so if I put that in there, for I'm not ashamed of the seed of the kingdom, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the word. I can use that. I'm not ashamed of the word. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Spreading the seed of the kingdom. Don't be ashamed of it. Be happy, be proud to be a believer. You know, a lot of times people are not really excited about being a believer. It's almost embarrassing sometimes. Because you're so overwhelmed by the pressures of the world. And what the majority is doing. You know, you're the minority. Let's face it, minority. And so you get overwhelmed. But listen, what we have to do is say, you know what, I'm not ashamed. I've made this. How many have made your decision? I made a decision to serve the Lord, regardless. And that's what the folks, in these countries that are dealing with these trials and testings and persecutions and all that. They have to make a decision every day. Their life's at stake. They get up and get up the next morning and they come and invade their village. I mean, it's amazing what I read in that book, what they've done to people. I said, man, think about it. And we get up, we got so much freedom. We got so much freedom in America. We let that freedom bleed into our lives when it comes to being devoted to God. We want to be devoted to God, but we want our freedom. We still want to do what we want to do, but it doesn't work like that. You're either sold out to God or you're not. You're sold out to something. I can assure you of that. You're devoted to something. You're giving your worship somewhere. You're giving it somewhere. And so this is important, very important that we understand. Next Sunday I'll put up that slide on worship. So you'll see what we deal with. What Brother Josh mentioned it this morning is so powerful. And on Thursdays, I was using it for Thursday, but worship, it's what you're devoted to. Where your devotion is. What you're devoted to, that's where your worship is. And that's what the enemy vies constantly, constantly trying to change our mind, constantly trying to change our thinking, because your thinking will control your devotion. And that's why we have to be so careful. And I mentioned it on Thursday. That's why we have all the industries. All the industries are geared up. There's so much propaganda and all this junk that goes on, and it's to control people's thinking. They can do a couple little ads on TV and incite fear in half a nation. Just like that. People who were going about doing what they were doing, taking the kids to ball games and going to work, going out to dinner, and they can just run a few ads and incite propaganda. And it's absolutely crazy. And that's exactly how the society is set up. But and let me tell you, people are so devoted to that, that they're so devoted that whatever comes across the airwaves, it's got to be real. And it's all propaganda. It's absolutely crazy. Let me tell you, one thing I know is real, and that's the Word of God. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but the Word's going to stand. You got to get your life built on the Word of God. You got to trust that. Because let me tell you, it doesn't take, don't get caught in it. The country is set up, poised to run all kinds of things. The news media, the whole, every industry's all set up to cite fear in the people and control the nation. If you control your thinking, it controls your devotion. We don't want that. My thinking is controlled by the Word of God. I get in the Bible, and that's what it says. But I'm going with that. That's what I'm going with. I know everything else might be falling apart, and everybody else is running that way. Let me tell you, if you see the majority running that way, turn around. You go the other way, because I can assure you they're going in the wrong direction. Because the Scripture clearly says that where the majority is running, you go the other way. You might feel alone, but that's the way you need to go. Do you understand that? There's a way that seems right to man, but it's not right. And I mentioned this on Thursday, that all of those industries, all the top five motion picture companies, all of the major news companies, all of them, all of the industry dealing with sports, all of them, are all run, are owned by Jews. I want to say it again. All. Not some. All. Less than 2% Jews make up the population of the United States of America. It's about 6 million Jews in America. But they run all those industries. They are leading in the pack. God's firstborn nation leading in the pack against God. Against God. So just so you think about it. He called Israel his firstborn. That's what he said. And thank God for his mercy. He's going to have to pull some out of that pack. He will, because he promised it. He'll pull them out. But he said, one thing we got to remember, we were grafted in. And to me, I just was so amazing that God would do that for us. He said to the Jew first, but also the Greek. That's where we come in. So I want you to just remember those things. They're very important to remember when you're going through your studies, when you're looking at the things of God. So I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. If we do not allow the seed of the gospel to remain in our hearts, we will not be protected when the time, when it comes time to enter the kingdom of God. We won't be. The seed has to remain in our hearts. It has to remain. And it's very important. And there's a popular, some popular things that are out there that doesn't believe that this is possible. You know, once the seed's there, it's there. It's never going to come up. No, the seed has to remain. It could be uprooted. You could be in love with God one week and not in love with him the next. The seed of the word of the kingdom. The seed is the word of the kingdom. The ground is the world. The crops are those who are born again. These were just a couple little things I'd put in there. 1 Corinthians 3:6. This is what it said there. He said, I planted. Paul's talking here. He says, I planted. Apollos watered, but God will cause the growth. So what we have jobs to do. We sow the seed. But God causes the growth. And that's a difficult thing sometimes for us to get, because we want to see instant growth. We want to see something that we can go home with and be excited that service went a certain way, because we want to see. Well, you know, we had 12 people come down. You know, that's what we want. We want to say, we want to hang, we want to count numbers. We want to go somewhere and we said, oh, we had 20 people said they got saved. That doesn't mean anything. You check on them 20 people a year from now and see if they're still in the kingdom. Then you got something. Oh, they bear fruit unto God. But we stop right there, and that's false finish lines. We want to add our numbers up and call it. It's a false finish line. It's not what God called us to do. We got to look for the increase. Very important that we see that. Mark 4, this is, we're going to kind of taper this down a little bit, and we're going to kind of, we're sort of go in a different direction, kind of tailing off of this, but I'm going to bring, have a new slide presentation for you next Sunday, but I want to bring this down today. Mark 4:26 is what I started with. This is what we started with. We read this text when we started it. I'm going to read it again, as we're going to wrap it up with this. In Mark 4:26-34, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed upon the soil. That's pretty simple to understand. I mean, he just comes out and says it. What's the kingdom of God like? It's like a man who cast seed on the soil. How many see that? And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade. I want you to see this sequence. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. So how many had any planting experience? You see that this is true. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. That's going to be the resurrection, the return of Christ. When he returns, what is he going to do? What is he going to do to all those who are dead in Christ? What is he going to do to all those who are alive and remain in Christ? He's going to put in the sickle, because the harvest comes. How many see that? But before the harvest comes, we've got to do what? Sow the seed, and then let the seed do its thing. You go to bed, you don't know how it's going to. But God's going to cause the increase. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Does this make sense? Verse 30. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed. Notice that. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. So how do we parable the kingdom? He said, like a mustard seed. What you got to do to it? Plant it. You plant the seed. So Jesus, he was the first fruit. Even those before Jesus still have to come in under Jesus. So there were those who were before him who died. The patriarchs. All of those. But it was, see, Abraham, the scripture says that to Abraham, God, the gospel was preached to Abraham about the kingdom. So Abraham, he believed God. When he preached the kingdom to him, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham's in right standings with God, and he died. Now he awaits the resurrection. Now, can he rise before Jesus? Absolutely not. But he believed in the gospel. But since Jesus rose from the dead, he now comes in line. Does it make sense to you? He can't raise. How can he raise? There's not been a first fruit yet. Who's the first fruit among many brethren? Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, including Abraham, can go to the Father but through me. Does this make sense, everybody? I don't know how folks get it all twisted up. They got the verses all platted together. Then they got to have to unwind them. Then you ask them, if you tell them one look, if you said this, what I just said, they want to try to explain it that way. That's no explanation. This is simple stuff. Abraham cannot go before Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit. And once Jesus raised, Abraham's in line now. And everybody else is in line. And they're going to get their turn when he comes back. Amen? It's all in your Bible. It's all stuff right there. Even if you don't pull a commentary out and just read your Bible, you'll find all these verses. They're all there. So we get this explanation given to us. With many such parables, verse 32, he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. Life is in the seed. Power is in the seed. How can we fulfill the Great Commission if we don't sow seed? How can we fulfill the Great Commission? What's the Great Commission? What does he tell us in Matthew? Jesus gives the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He gives the Great Commission. How many thank God? How many believe we should be doing that? We should be doing that. We should be going as whatever we can reach. If it's in our power to reach it, if we can, we should be doing that. Even if it means traveling abroad. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here's the thing. Going and helping somebody fix something without preaching the gospel isn't doing a Great Commission. We can do it in conjunction. But if we fail to preach the gospel, that trip was in vain. Doesn't make a lick of sense if we don't share the gospel while we're there. You can go help the people in his power. You can go hand out biscuits. You can go preach to the homeless, you know, and hug them and love on them. But if you don't preach the gospel, it's in vain. You know, we fed the homeless. We can feed them all we want. We can give them stuff to drink. You can go build them a house. If you don't preach the gospel, it's in vain. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he said. What is the gospel? We're going to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The seed of the kingdom. The seed of the kingdom. That's what Jesus preached. He went to all the cities. I must go to all the cities also to preach this kingdom. It's what I was sent for. Jesus preached that same thing. It's very important that we do the same thing. So listen, how many know the way it all starts? It starts at your own mission field. Everybody's got their own mission field. Whether you know it or not, you got one. And after today, hopefully you understand. Where do you start? Well, mamas? How many mamas we got in here and daddies? It starts with you teaching your children, training them up in the ways of the Lord, explaining to them about the kingdom, saying, listen, you're not going to be, you can be successful in a lot of things. You can be educated, you go to school, you go to college, you can get a degree, you get a job, you can join the rest of the nation and just getting up every day and going to work and doing whatever. I want to tell you something that's more important than all of that. I want to sow the seed of the kingdom in your life. There's an amazing God who cares so much for the human race that when we failed, when we broke it all in pieces and failed, he sent his only begotten Son to fix it for us. His name is Jesus. And Jesus came and was tempted in every point like we are. He went through the same things we're going through today. The ups and downs, the people for him, people against him, temptations all around him. He was tempted, yet he never sinned. He was so happy just to please the Father. Every time he said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. And then they crucified him for that. They hung him on a cross and crucified him. And he died. But I want to tell you, in 3 days, his Father said he wouldn't leave his soul. He said he raised him. He said, I won't leave your soul. King James used the word hell, but it should be show. He said, I won't leave your soul in the grave. You can see how translations can cripple people's understanding. It should be show. I won't leave you in the grave. I'm getting you out the grave. taking you out. And let me tell you, anybody else that you know that's been a Christian, born again, regenerated, like I explained today, or any person you know right now still alive, you need to tell them, be encouraged, he ain't going to leave us there either. He says, though you die, you're going to live. Yet you shall live. It's a time frame. It's coming. It's appointed. It's going to be that visitation from him by himself. Jesus himself is going to come and raise us. How many thank God for that? So you ought to be sharing that with your children. Every mom and dad, you ought to take the opportunity to share that with them. They need the gospel. And then after you share it with your family, then you can go out and share it with other people. But start with your family. What authority do you think you have if you can't even start with your own kids? Well, I'm going to go tell my neighbor. Really? You got little Johnny and Susie at the house. You ain't told them anything yet. Well, don't start with your neighbor. You start with your house. I mean, you say, well, how can you prove that scripturally? Where did Jesus start? He said, I've been sent to the lost house of Israel. He didn't start with the Gentile. Do you understand that? He didn't start with the Gentile. He started with the Jews because that was his own people. They needed to know the truth. He starts there. Where did God start? With his own son first. He starts with his own son. Did he start with his own creation at the beginning? Yes. Who did he start with at the beginning? Adam. Did Adam obey? No, he disobeyed. Who did he start with at the second go around? Jesus. Did Jesus obey? Hallelujah. He obeyed. You see that? Then after Jesus' obedience, then it goes to the whole world. Does it make sense to you? So start at home. Listen, wife, if your husband's not serving God, you got to be faithful to serving God before they're ever going to come serve God. If the husband, wife serving God, the husband's not, the husband serving God and the wife's not, listen, you got to start there first. You can't be an example to anybody else until you're example to one another. Then to the children, you be example to the children. And then you can reach out of that. But we got to get the home fixed. You know, the fastest way to fix a town? Fix every home. Don't go fix the town. Don't go find the worst. Oh, we need to close the bar rooms down. That's what the first thing people want to do. You know, this is absolutely crazy. I don't know who comes up with this stuff. That ain't what you need to shut down. We need to fix every home. Get the home right. Guess what? The town just got fixed. You ain't got to march in front. No, you know, it's crazy stuff. And people, you know, I think people just, you know, they won't read their Bible. And all of a sudden they come up with an idea. Oh, this sounds good. And they say, they get about five people to join them, and they think they're going to go and march and, you know, and do all kind of stuff, and they're going to get their way. You know, we're the Christian, we're the believer. Boom. That's not how you do it. Why don't we sit down with one another? You know what we need? We need a man look at his wife and say, listen, I love you. But I want to tell you, serving God is the most important thing, and I'm going to be the man in my house. And we need that woman look at her husband and say, I love you and I'm in agreement with you. We're going to serve God. Then we need them both turn around, look at their children and say, listen, we love y'all, but serving God is the absolute most important thing. We just fixed the home. If every home's fixed in this town, guess what? You fix the town. Because the next guy jumps up with some political agenda and says, hey, vote for me. Hey. They're going to say, listen here, you come over here. We don't put up with that stuff. And he's going to look around and say, oh, we's all of y'all. And you say, yeah, we's all of us. Guess what? You just fixed the political arena. But we don't go fix the political arena because we got messed up homes. And we trying to. Our voice ain't going to be loud enough because we squirrely. I know this ain't your average preaching somewhere else, but this is how it is. God wants us right. And I want us right. And I'm not going to stand before God and he's going to say, come here, Jesse, come here. Why you didn't preach what I told you? You get over there with the rest of them. I'm not taking that ride for nobody. You understand that? No way. No way. I love you too much to get up here and just preach some little sermonette to you. I want our church fixed and whole. And if it takes us repenting every Sunday, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be doing that. Listen, God's so amazing, no flesh should ever want to glory in his presence anyway. We should just say, God, I want to be humble before you. You're so incredible. And I'm just thankful I get to do the things I do every day. Every day I get to get up, and it's amazing. God, he wants you to enjoy your life. But there's no enjoyment in life if your heart ain't right. You can fake the joy. You can push yourself and smile. But when that door closes and nobody's around and you're broken on the inside and you're hurting and you're full of fear, I'm going to tell you, God don't want you to live that away, and I don't want you to live that away. Listen, when you shut your door and the lights go out, you don't have to have no more fear. I'm telling you, to whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You're at liberty to live for the Lord. God, the devil's been lying to you for a long time. You can have freedom in God. You don't have to hurt no more. You've been hurting all your life. You don't have to no more. You can be free. You can have joy. When the doors are closed and nobody's around, you can just have your laughing party. You can say, ha, thank you, God. You're so good to me. You love me. And that's what you can do. It don't take a crowd. Let me tell you, if it takes a crowd to get our worship on, we miss the whole part of the worship. You can be by yourself, nobody around. But your appetite is going to be, you're going to have an overwhelming hunger for God. It's going to be amazing. You're going to hunger for him every day. Every single day, you're not going to get enough. You're not going to look at Sunday and say, well, I got church Sunday, man. This is just a time we gather together collectively. All of us, but every day you're going to hunger for the Lord. You're going to want to do something for God every day. Every day. And you're not going to have to force yourself at all. It's going to just be you, who you are. You know, man, I can't believe I wanted to read my Bible this week, and I didn't. You know, that's all. I remember being that way. I remember being that way. I was like, man, I wanted to. You didn't want to. You know, you need to slap yourself about three times and say, come on, wake up. You didn't want to. Because I did the other stuff I wanted to do. I didn't miss that. Because let me tell you, when it's on the inside of you, you don't have to force anything. It's going to be who you are. It's the seed in you bearing fruit every day. It's just bearing fruit. Listen, know what I'm ready? I'm ready for our church. You wake up and you walk out and you look at your life and you're going to see your trees in full bloom. You got blooms and fruit hanging all over that tree. Because you see something happening in your life. How many thankful that you get up and it's just by habit? You get up and you just want to read. You want to pray. You want to talk to any chance you get. That's incredible. I had a friend of mine the other day. I was on the boat working there, and I had the music on, listening. And Brother Brian knows what I'm talking about. And he walks up to me, and he says, "Hey, Jesse," he said, "I haven't been feeling good." And I was like, "Here's my chance right here." I said, "You know what?" I said, "We're going to pray for you." I said, "God's able to touch you. He's able to minister to your life." And he said, "I do appreciate that." See, every opportunity is just, you know, you think about it, you say, God, it could have passed me by. I could have just blown that whole opportunity, but I'm thankful I got a chance right there. One chance. And you hope for the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one. Just be available, but bear fruit. How many want to bear fruit to the kingdom? Jesus, the seed of David. Jesus is, he's whose right it is to sit upon David's throne and to rule Israel for eternity. It's his right. The seed of David. Was he called the seed of David? How is he the seed of David? But he's also what? The seed of God. Jesus is the son of David and the Son of God. Jesus will fulfill the eternal covenant God made with David. Did David fulfill that eternal covenant? He couldn't. He couldn't. He said, David's dead, and we got his, he's still, he's dead. So he couldn't fulfill it. Jesus died, but he raised from the dead so he can fulfill that. So he said, out of the stem of Jesse, something's going to happen. He's going to be a shoot run off and pop up. That's, he's the son of David, because there was a promise by God. What was God's promise? He said of his kingdom, of the throne of David, there will be no end. But that was prophetic. Because when David dies, you think everybody's looking around. Okay, we just put him in the ground. And then his successor, Solomon, right? And his successor. And then all of a sudden, that thing gets all out of whack. But they all die. So everybody's looking around saying, what is this talking about? Of David's throne, there'll be no end. And he didn't say of Solomon's throne. Notice that. He didn't say of Rehoboam's. Solomon said, he didn't say that. Did he? No. He said of David's throne. And so Jesus is called the Son of David, right? And the Son of God. Jesus will fulfill the eternal covenant God made with David. Now, I pointed this out for you to get this picture I'm trying to paint to you. Abraham received the seed of the kingdom, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But he died. He still awaits the resurrection. David received the promise of his throne would have no end. But he died. Jesus becomes the first fruit. Here's what I've been looking at. I don't fully study it out yet fully, but here's what I see. David's going to rule and reign with Jesus as a vice regent in the kingdom. You ever thought about seeing King David? The one that fought the giant? Think about it. The one that, just like men today, he committed adultery, sinned against God horribly, but God forgave him. He fell on his face and said, purge me with the hyssop, created me a clean heart, restore right spirit in me. This stuff God wants to hear from us. That same David is going to sit on a throne. He has to, according to Scripture. He's going to sit on above Jesus, but he'll be a vice regent, ruling and reigning. David. Anybody want to see him? I want to say something about it, you know. Hey, how you doing, King David? Jesse! Yeah, you know that we got that little Jesse thing going on. David on his throne. Jesus on his throne. So Jesus is the son of David, the son of God. Jesus will fulfill the eternal covenant God made with David. And David is going to be resurrected and seated on a throne somewhere. Wow, how incredible that's going to be. But don't be shocked by David being on the throne. I read a spot in there where it says, you and I will rule. You got to get that word now. Will rule. Who? You're not going to rule God. You're not going to rule Jesus. You're not going to rule David. There's going to be somebody to rule. Rule and reign. Reign means that you're going to have a kingship. You reign over kingdoms. So you'll be distributed. Brother Scott, you might be over Grand Bayou. About that. Yeah. Mm. Oh my, he said, Lord, help him on Grand Bayou. Yeah, but that's now. That's now they need that. Then it'll be all perfect. But you never know. He allowed me to put you in the spot. Brother Brown, he'll send you back up there in Michigan and you'll fix stuff. Think about it. Send you somewhere. Are we going to be helping him? Working with him? Absolutely. For our own benefit? Absolutely not. There'll be none of that. That's all purged out. That's gone. Nobody's ever going to want to do anything that's going to please themselves. It's going to be all purged out. Think about it. God is so good to us. Let me read a couple of these verses here. The next one says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." Look at that. Has that happened yet? No. But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. He's not talking about this happening in heaven. Where's David's throne at? Is it in heaven? No. David's throne's not in heaven. We got to read this stuff. It's not there. We don't need, listen, we don't need Jesus King in heaven. What do we need him King in heaven for? Listen, he's going to be king, and he's going to rule and reign on the throne of David upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment, with justice, and henceforth even forever. Where he reigns, he's going to have to establish some things. Are y'all getting this? If it's in heaven, there's nothing to establish. It's all done already. But if it's on the earth, something's got to be established. Established with judgment, with justice. This is some good stuff. Next one. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke 1, 32 and 33. How many see that? Isn't that incredible? These are all good passages for you to go back and read again and again. They're very helpful. The Bible teaches that the resurrection of Christians will occur prior to the millennium. Prior to the millennium. During the millennium, resurrected saints will reign with Christ upon the earth during the millennium. That 1,000-year period, resurrected saints is going to reign with Christ. We're going to be, listen, we're not going to be in heaven and he's going to be on the earth reigning. And we're going to be up there. For what? We're going to be with the Redeemer. You understand that? We're going to be with him. There's no separation. We see it nowhere in Scripture. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I'm going to stop right there. There's more, but I'm incorporated into the next part. We're going to shift. This is my leading into that next Sunday. We'll shift into a new slide presentation, and we're going to talk about the kingdom in detail. We're going to go through that whole series talking about the king. Now we got kingdom seed. We're going to talk about it in detail. But blessed and holy is he who had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's pretty simple stuff. We're going to reign with him. I'm ready to reign with him for 1,000 years. We're going to reign with him. So if he's reigning, he's not reigning in heaven. He's going to be reigning here. And so we're going to be here with the Lord Jesus reigning. Reigning in authority, positions. You're going to have positions. We're going to be doing things. Actually, he's going to give us some orders. We're going to carry those orders out. Thank you, Lord. Hastily, we're just going to get after and get it done. And there's going to be somebody who's not following orders at that time going to need to know those orders. And you're going to have to make sure that they follow those orders. Wow. It's going to be something. The trumpet's going to sound, the last one. And the dead shall raise. So if you hadn't been here on Thursday nights, this is kind of coming together a little bit. But we've been talking about this on Thursdays, Revelations, dealing with that. We're getting to some pretty rough waters in Revelations. We're on the trumpets. Fifth trumpet, sixth trumpet's coming, seventh trumpet. That's an exciting one there. Well, you know we are long for the whole ride. And with that seventh one, I want to be definitely on that ride. And then after that, the stuff that happens will be non-effective to you. None whatsoever. Because you're in that state that Christ is in. And then they have 3.5 years. And then it's over. So we're going to continue in this. So next Sunday you'll see a different presentation, but kind of just tailing off of this. So let's take a thought about today. Who wants to rule and reign with Christ? If you're not born again, you won't enter the kingdom. That's simple stuff. You won't enter. Born again is nothing that I can do here by way of a traditional method. I can't put you in a baptism tank. I can't have you come forward and say a prayer after me. I can't do any of those things and assure you that you're going to be in the kingdom of God. But what I can do is sow the seed. I can sow the seed of the kingdom. And then there's a lot of other things that are necessary for you. It's in the scripture. But that seed has to take root and it has to start growing. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And after that, then he puts the sickle to it because the time's at end. So the whole time we're going through it. I don't know what stage you're in, but I need to make sure what stage I'm in. I need to make sure that I'm actually, you know, I can't just be the blade all the time. Jesus told us what he does with the tree that doesn't bear fruit. He said, what good is it? But to be hewed down and cast into the fire. No good in it. So you can look the part. And not make it. And the Lord dealt with me this week and he said, Jesse, there'll be many, many people won't make it. Is that the desire of God? No. It's the appetite of man to go the opposite direction of God. My hope today is that you don't do that. You say to the Lord, I want to go with you 100%. See, there's no birth. It's not the church has to keep up with you. The pastor has to visit you. We've created this monster in the church world. It's a monster. And if you don't do everything just right, the feelings of people get hurt. And you're the reason and the cause they're not in church today. I'm not going to create no monster. It's not on me. It's on you. Mine is on me. Yours is on you. And Jesus was very clear when he said those things to his disciples. If you want me, you got to follow me. You got to follow. If you want it, just follow me. I'll teach you, train you, do all that. But let me tell you, ultimately, it comes down to what are you going to do when you're all by yourself? You know what Peter did? He denied him. Because you're going to test. Everybody's going to be tested. What did Judas do? He sold him. There were some of them when they were faithful. John, think about John. We don't read anything about John ever backing down. Once Paul came to Christ, do we read anything about Paul ever backing down? Do you know there was another incident with Peter even after all that wonderful things happened in his life? And do you know there was another incident with Peter? He said, Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face. Because he had an incident. You know why? When certain people are around, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. When their Jews were around, he wouldn't eat with them. He said, I withstood him to the face about that. You lose that attitude because, let me tell you, you keep that, you won't make it either. That's what Paul told Peter. But he got that cleared up, thank God. And he surrendered his life, crucified for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has to, so listen, it's the blade first, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. There's a process. And we're all being processed. And I can tell you, you know for a fact if you're bearing fruit in your life. And it'll be other people will know it. But there's none of these things. I can tell you, you make a good detail of your life. Sit down and detail out your life. Take note of what you do every day, how you act, what you say, what you do. And you got to straighten up all these little things because you're not going to make it with some of those things. You got to say, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. Don't blow it in the end. We're at the end. We're at the very tip end, very end. We're there. We're there. When I shared with you, the seals have been open in Revelations. The first five seals are open. They're already open. We see all those things happening in our world today. We see it very plainly happening. And we have a pause on the sixth seal. And the sixth and seventh seal happen, and the trumpets will start being blown. When the first trumpet blows, you got a short period of time. It's all going to happen fast. So we're at the very end of the end. Do a valuation of your life and say, Lord, I don't want to miss it. And I'm sure you God will be there for you. Let's stand.